The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. Oh, my. Oh, my. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158, Gil Alexander. That's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin right there.
Yo.
To my left, to your right. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, we have drama. First of all, Zach and Crack on the show today. Zach Cohen, very timely, will join us here momentarily. We will talk MLB most wins in the month of June. I'm going to give out the team that I'm betting on tomorrow, but I'm going to go through 6-5-4-3 today in terms of my top six.
I dig it.
6-5-4-3. Matt Grissom on college baseball. We'll go bracket by bracket with him. The big news, in case you haven't heard it this morning, is in the world of tennis. Jannik Sinner was taking on Juan Manuel Cerúndolo.
The other Cerúndolo.
Not even the good Cerúndolo.
Not even the good Cerúndolo.
Though Juan Manuel is very good on clay, I should point out. And Jannik Sinner is up in this match 2-0 and up 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cramps started coming in. He needed the physio. And there's controversy surrounding it because, once again, they were giving him breaks where he shouldn't be allowed to have breaks. But apparently, when it's Sinner and Alcaraz, they just really give them grace where they shouldn't. It's really not fair.
It was incredible. I flipped it on, actually, and caught that entire sequence. And Cerúndolo just didn't even make a big deal out of it.
Well, because he's Juan Manuel Cerúndolo. And you know what happens next, or maybe you don't. Cerúndolo comes back, wins the third set, and it just gets worse from there. Cerúndolo wins it in five, and Jannik Sinner, who was really the man to beat by any person's, you know, evaluation of this tournament. And here, the one solace I will take is we got him at -120. You never heard me say take him at the big number. That's the only thing I can say.
Yeah.
We had some others who do say that, but we didn't say it.
A lot of L's to rack up this morning, though. That was fun.
But the problem, again, is he has this trouble with heat. And in the first match, we talked about this a little yesterday, he couldn't get through that straight set win without calling the physio. And then his team requested the noon time slot, which is the biggest mismanagement going here. Because why would they not have, knowing that the ginger has trouble in hot conditions, why would they not have him playing at night? A huge error on the part of his team, and Jannik Sinner is bounced, and our future on Jannik Sinner is donezo, regardless of what price you got him at, obviously. And the bigger news in tennis now, the last nine slams on the men's side have been won by either Jannik Sinner or Carlos Alcaraz. We are going to have that streak broken here on the clay of Roland Garros. And the question becomes now, Kelly, because you have Sasha Zverev, who now becomes the de facto short shot, who probably thought at his point in the career, if you gave him truth serum, wow, maybe it's not going to happen for me. I had it on my racket in that U.S. Open where Djokovic hit the ball girl, the lines judge. He got disqualified. Remember, then Dominic Thiem came back and beat him in the decider. He probably could have beaten Alcaraz in a previous French Open, but a call went against him, and the ump held it up. He got skridded in that one. But now Sasha Zverev has to think to himself, maybe this is finally my moment. But then there's Novak Djokovic.
Novak, still there.
Who's saying to himself, wait a minute now. I got 24 slams. I'm trying to get to 25 because I'm tied with Margaret Court. I can win this now.
Door has opened.
And there's got to be other players that think to themselves, oh, no, it's mine. But that's a cataclysmic when it comes to tennis. Turn of events at Roland Garros. And let me just, again, I'll say this as a guy who loves tennis. There is no, I'm going to repeat this, and you just got a taste of what it's like to be a tennis bettor. He was up 5-1 in the third, up two sets. And you lost that match.
I honestly can't believe he didn't retire, withdraw, whatever we call it.
That's his walk off. That's his body telling. We had some guys who said, okay, I don't know if he can get through all these tournaments.
Yeah. He couldn't move.
He couldn't move. And there is no sport. I know we think football is macho and we think basketball is the greatest athleticism in the world. There's no sport that's as a greater combination of physical and mental than tennis. Period. End of story.
Sinner.
And you're out there on an island. You don't have teammates to rely on. So it's just you and that's that. And we have to deal with that as bettors as well.
closed at circa minus 20,000 favorite.
I'm going to say some books didn't even post, don't even post those kind of lines.
Right, 35-1 you could have gotten on Juan Manuel. I saw Nigel Seeley tweet out that Cerundolo was as high as 1,000-1 in match, which makes sense, right? Like, he was down 2-1, down 2-love, and then down of in the course. Third, so of that course. Checks out. And then, as you guys did a great job of detailing on the Beating the Book pod leading up to it, this is, what, your second biggest favorite?
Or ever.
Your biggest, second biggest favorite ever and biggest since 2009 when Nadal was minus 400 entering the tournament.
And Nadal lost that tournament. That's like one of the few Frenches he lost, right? So the biggest, we were just talking about this with baseball individual lines yesterday. So the biggest two slam favorites in the history of modern day tennis, both now do not get to the promised land.
I've had a lot of fun at the French Open so far. This is my biggest tennis bet ever. I didn't go well.
Well, on the good news, because we do have good news. Man. We'll get back to that in a second. We do have good news. Francisco Cerundolo, our guy to win the quarter, he's up 2-1. He's up 5-1 in the fourth set. So it looks like he will advance if all goes well.
About time for cramps to set in, Gil. That's what I'm saying.
And for those who are playing, for those who are subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. For those who are subscribers, it has been a fabulous 3 days now, 3 winning days in a row. And yes, I can already say today's a winning day, too. 2 days ago, it was a 2-1 for over a unit and a half. Yesterday, 10 plays, 7-3 we ended up on our plays yesterday. And today, there are four plays for subscribers. We're already 2-0. Both of the women's plays won. Iva Jovic, a slight favorite, versus Emma Navarro, the new Emma Navarro, the new and improved Emma Navarro. We got a winner on Iva Jovic, match point, by the way, for Francisco Cerundolo. We got a winner on Jovic over Navarro, and then a big dog winner. I hated myself for not playing her against Zhang Xinwen in the first round. I wasn't going to make that mistake again. Maya Szwalinska, winner over Elise Mertens this morning. So that's another winner for us on the ladies' side there. So it's an 11-4 run here in the last 3 days, 3 consecutive winning days in the French Open. By the way, Szwalinska was plus 173 this morning. What remains today are 2 on the men's side. And regardless of what happens, it's a winning day, but let's try to bang it out. Let's try to go 3-1 or 4-0 here. Arthur Rinderknecht, have him at minus 109 versus Matteo Berrettini. That's a little later on. And another big dog, Rafael Collignon, plus 178 versus the American Ben Shelton. So swinging for the fences on that one. But 2 more plays on the men's side. The 2 women's plays already winners today. Now, the center thing is that not only do I lose the minus 120, I also lose the he will win 3+ majors bet that I made before the season started. So that's done. But that, I mean, now, if I said to you this morning, hey, you know, Yannick Sinner lost the French Open. That's got to be the biggest tennis news in the world, right?
Yeah.
What if I said to you, I have a bigger tennis story for you?
What do you got?
Serena Williams is coming back.
Really?
Serena's coming back. So about 6 months ago, I think I mentioned this on the show, she filed paperwork.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yep.
And my comment was, you don't file paperwork to subject yourself to random doping just for the giggles of it. So Serena, who's won 23 majors, the most ever on the ladies tour, she is, it appears, the whispers are, the rumors are, John Wertheim talked about this on Andy Roddick's Served podcast. The whispers are that she's going to come back for grass, which always was her best of the best, right? She's great on everything, but grass was her top. That she's going to perhaps play doubles with either Victoria Mboko at the Queen's Club in England, or with her sister Venus. But then Andrea Petkovic also points out, you also don't file paperwork to play doubles. You're trying to play singles. And she's a GLP girl, Kelly. I know you respect that. She's a GLP girl. She is in great shape. She's lighter than ever. And so one would expect her to play grass court season. Serena's going to come back too, which is going to be awesome, by the way. She was born in 1981. She's 45 years old, I guess. Maybe she's 44. I don't know what her birthday is. But Serena, by the way, 44 years old. She'd be 45 in September. But she's coming back as well. So it is a day in tennis every which way you look at it. We're doing great on the individuals, but Sinner goes down. Serena's coming back. Oh, my.
Yeah, just pulling up this BBC report from an hour ago. Serena in discussions about potential return to competitive tennis at Queen's Club next month.
And then yesterday, I know we were on the air when the Hamburger lost. Ostapenko, were we on air when Rybakina did? Yes, I think we were as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, this French Open is something else. So those are the two plays remaining today. Arthur Rinderknecht on the men's side, the Frenchman, taking on Matteo Berrettini. That's a serve bot game. Serves abound in that one. And then the second one again, Rafael Collignon going up against Ben Shelton. There you go. Last night also hockey, of course. Carolina Hurricanes did it again. This one easy peasy this time against the Montreal Canadiens. It was 3-0 by the end of the first period. That was that. And the Hurricanes take on the Hurricanes now up 3-1 in that best of seven Eastern Conference final. The Hurricanes now 11-1 in the postseason.
Yeah, pretty good, man.
11-1, and once again 16-2 is your greatest stretch in the 16 win format. The 1988 Edmonton Oilers, one win away, are the Carolina Hurricanes now from facing the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup final. The Vegas Golden Knights in their third final in 9 seasons.
EGK's got them right where they want them, Gil. Coming in hot.
We actually will throw up a tweet here on the other side. Zach will join us, and we'll start with Zach with this tweet from, I believe it was Tennis Letter, the exchange between Sinner and the physio part of it at the end. But it is over for Yannick Sinner. It's over for our Sinner bets. Zach Cohen, NBA and French Open. Spurs, OKC tonight. He's got thoughts. He's got bets next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN.com is everything you need to bet smarter right now on VSiN.com. Greg Peterson's MLB best bet, Zach Cohen's Spurs Thunder Game 6 prediction, UFC Macau best bets, and coming later today, Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA best bets, Daily Racing Form horse racing picks, and Zach Cohen's French Open tennis bets. We'll have Zach on momentarily. And right now, get 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $159 with promo code PRO. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today. Sasha Zverev now the short shot, as mentioned, plus 180. Novak Djokovic 4-1, followed by Casper Ruud at plus 650, Rafa Hodar at plus 750, and our guy Francisco Cerundolo, our guy for the quarter anyway, at 15-1. Everybody else 22-1 or longer. We get tweets beating the book. Zach's going to give us some perspective on this momentarily. Shrek, I've never seen this before. Sinner would lose to Todd today with those cramps. Tronsky. Oh, Gil, here comes the baby giraffe. Sinner in trouble. That was during the match. Let's see here. This is from... let's see.
He was just done, man. After those cramps set in, he was toast.
Greg McKay just writes Sinner, da-da-da-da-da. Mortal Capper, oh boy, Sinner providing some drama this morning for us tennis fans. Oh, these were all during... Bob Horner, RIP, from Patrick Kelly. Yes, Bob Horner, the former Brave, dying at 68 years old. Wow. Had a Bob Horner rookie card. Remember that? Dunk Tank Sports. The announcer said the cramps, quote, came out of nowhere, unquote. But when the word comes out of their mouths, is that time to jump on the opponent right away, just in case it develops into this? Well, I mean, it's still Sinner, right? So you have to do that cautiously. Easy to say in retrospect. Mm-hmm.
You never know how those things are going to set in, right? Yeah, you've seen plenty of tennis matches where guys fight their way through it. It goes away after a little bit.
Even though he has the history of it, of course. Kurz, no longer a tennis tournament in Paris, a test of heat endurance or something else entirely. Larry Fresh, thanks for the Maya Shwalinski pick. Starting the day with a dog win is always a plus. Have a great Thursday. Thank you, Larry Fresh. And Variance, Kurz also adds Variance meter crank to max. Montreal Max, hard to remember more stunning match than Sinner on his win streak, being up 2-5-1 in the third versus Cerundolo for the heat conditions to take over his body and witness this historical collapse, losing 18 of the last 20 games. The male insiders, what the hell? Tronsky, Well, Gilly, hate to tell you, I told you, but the heat was in the heat wave in France this week was the worst thing for Sinner. The roof saved him in Melbourne. No save today. Now, is this Zverev's best shot at a slam? Has to be. As I said, it absolutely is. If you're Sasha Zverev, that's what you're thinking. But let's bring in Zach Cohen. Zach, of course, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. All of his stuff at VSiN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. Zach, let's just start with what I was talking about in the previous segment, which is his camp requested the noon, or was, you said there was another variable in there? What was going on?
I'm under the impression that he needed to play a day match, and they just had to decide when he'd be going on. I could be completely wrong about that, but there was an option to play on Lenglen a little bit earlier. And if you watch this match at all, you know that if he had an extra hour, he wouldn't have needed an extra hour. Like, it would have been a really easy win for him. He was on his way to absolutely blasting Cerundolo off the floor, and it ended up being, you know, what happens with Yannick Sinner. Like, in these matches, like, when he plays in the heat, he wilts, and it's just something that I find to be shocking. I mean, this is a guy that brought back the physio that, you know, caused him the steroid suspension. So you would think that this guy is the best on the planet or something, but he continues to have this problem. I've heard a lot of people say, like, he should be training in Florida in the off season, not in Monte Carlo or wherever he's training. And maybe that's something he really needs to strongly consider, because it's clear he can't handle these conditions.
It's really true. Go spend a summer in Miami. You'll be ready for everything.
I'll tell you what, Gildy, you know, the two biggest takeaways I took away from the Beating the Book French Open preview, it was watch out for Casper Ruud. He's live. That was number two. And number one was our friend Zach Cohen saying 17 times, watch out how hot it was going to be in Paris for the French Open.
I was 17 times, Zach, you said it. I don't know if you know that. 17 times you said it. Well, a very prescient comment to make 17 different times. What do you have left today, Zach?
I have one play left today. I have Matteo Arnaldi and Stefano Tsitsipas over 37.5 games. It was minus 125 when I wrote it up yesterday. It's minus 135 now. I'd still take that, or I'd just go to 38.5 games. I just feel like this match has four or five sets written all over it, and I do kind of think that the sets are going to be long themselves. I just feel like Tsitsipas, still a good server and somebody that can, you know, dominate, you know, games with aces and serve plus ones, but I don't think he's going to be able to break Arnaldi very easily. Arnaldi has had pretty weak season so far, but he has really started to pick things up over the last like month or so. So I think this is going to be a really competitive match. I actually leaned towards Arnaldi as a money line underdog in that match, but took the over instead.
Okay, and then tomorrow, you're already into tomorrow's slate.
Yeah, for tomorrow, I mean, I'm just trying to find ways to back Alex de Minaur against Jakob Medzic. And if you do that, no matter what you do, no matter how you play it, if it's money line, if it's in parlays, however you want to go about it, take it somewhere where they will grade action in the first set. I do not think Medzic is going to be able to survive that match. I mean, we keep talking about the conditions in Paris. Well, playing Alex de Minaur in Paris sounds like absolute hell, especially when you ended your last match on your back and needed to be helped off the court. Medzic won his match point against Mariano Navone last match in a, you know, really, really tight five-set match. It was an absolute battle, and he was not able to get off the court because of his cramping was so bad. And de Minaur is the most physical player on the entire ATP tour. I think he's going to grind him down and find a way to win. I parlayed it with Casper Ruud to beat Tommy Paul. I think that Ruud now sees this opportunity in front of him, much like Alexander Zverev does, and feels I'm the best clay court player in this draw. I can go out and win this event. And I think that he's going to take that into a matchup with Tommy Paul, who is also a really difficult opponent. But I do think Ruud's forehand is way too good for Paul's, where Paul's forehand right now is a disaster.
All right. So a demon Casper Ruud parlay from Zach. Those are tomorrow, those two matches. Today, Matteo Arnaldi, Stefano Tsitsipas, over 37.5 games. Let's go to the NBA. Game six is tonight. I'm sorry that we waited a segment and a half to even bring it up, but Sinner had to be discussed. But OKC, San Antonio, of course, the proverbial must game situation, back against the wall, pick your cliche. They got to win it or it's over. And OKC will be on their way to the NBA Finals to take on the Knicks starting June 3rd. Spurs are 3.5-point favorites. Totals 219. What are we doing?
I really like OKC to win this game. I'm not actually taking it. I already have OKC to win the NBA Finals, and we're deep enough in this thing where I really don't want to add any positions unless I feel really strongly about it, like I did in game five. I was kind of watching that spread move all day the other day, and I was like, I don't understand how this is now down to 3, 3.5 in certain spots. I ended up jumping in on OKC at minus 150 in that game, but this is a game that I'd be looking to stay away from if you have any futures. But I do think that we've seen enough over the last four games that suggests this Thunder team is just better than the Spurs. And if they had Jalen Williams or AJ Mitchell, I think we'd see that a lot easier. But I do think that OKC's depth, I think that their shot making has been good enough. I think that the way that San Antonio is defending Oklahoma City is shocking to me. I don't understand the desire to blitz Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and put two on the ball and leave guys open for, you know, practice shooting threes. Like, it really looks wild to me, the amount of space you're seeing for guys like Alex Caruso and even Jared McCain at times. Like, these are guys that have proven now that they can knock down shots. It's been a long series. I feel like you need to adjust at some point. Maybe the Spurs will do that here. If I were San Antonio, I'd just be throwing Castle at SGA and saying, all right, if you score 40, you score 40. We're not giving anybody wide open threes. This is the conference finals. But there were opportunities to do that already for Mitch Johnson that I don't think he took. So at this point, I think OKC finds a way to win one of these next two games. And I think it could easily be tonight. So money line for me would be the lean. And the only play that I actually have in this game is Chet Holmgren over 13.5 points at minus 109. Kind of bashed Holmgren when I had Kelly on Harvard Handicappers the other day. But, man, I just think that this is a really low point total for somebody that's now averaging like 16 points per game in this postseason. Probably just played his best game of the series, and I thought that he looked really comfortable kind of attacking off the bounce and knocking down turnaround jumpers in the mid-range area. If you add a three or two to this, I think he's going to go over this number pretty easily.
Hardwood Handicappers, by the way, with Zach hosts. How many times a week, Zach? How many times? Every day? Monday to Friday,
although I'm not sure if that's the plan as things really slow down starting next week.
Zach in the middle of July, like I think somebody, I think I'm doing this right now. You could scan the QR code for more for Hardwood Handicappers. He doesn't quite get the neon green treatment that Will gets. You'll have to just deal with the mustard graphic.
Because it actually matches the podcast look. Yeah. That's where I'm like, someone went rogue with Will's. Or we're redesigning Will's podcast. He just doesn't know about it.
Hmm. Okay.
One of the two.
Stick around for another segment here, Zach, because I want to talk to you more. But let me just ask you this before the break. Thunder, if it is, in fact, the Thunder, let's just go with that for now for the purposes. And again, potential game seven will be Saturday night back in OKC if the Spurs win tonight. What would you make a Thunder-Knicks line? I mean, we see the hypothetical, so maybe it's not about what you would make it, but what would you immediately instinctively think to bet? Sweep? Five games? What leaps to mind for you?
Yeah, so I actually talked about this today on Harvard Handicappers. I think that the prices that I saw for hypotheticals look pretty good. I think minus 265 for OKC is what I saw at DraftKings. I would have OKC right around minus 300. I do think the Thunder would beat the Knicks in under 5.5 games. But the other series, if it ends up being Spurs-Knicks, completely different thoughts on that. So if you want to talk about that after the break, I do think the Knicks have a real shot of winning that one.
We will talk about that after the break. We also want to talk about Western Conference MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP.
Kelly made a bet.
And if you think that Alex Caruso might be legit live here. Coming back, more with Zach on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Circa's 2026 football contests are open, and you don't have to live in Las Vegas to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner's Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the nation. Winner's Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. We get tweets, Speedy the Book, the numbers guys. Morning, guys. Just saying sorry in advance. I might be a little late tuning in this morning. Vallejo versus Kwame was much-watched television. Oh, man. And so now, for all the Shvilinskas of the world where I hit a big dog this morning and have great, you know, access to her non-tour-level numbers, knowing how good she is, and able to translate that into winning bets, I don't have that with Kwame.
Mm.
Not that I bet against him, but I didn't bet on him today either. He wins again. He's headed to the third round, the French upstart. This is Matthew. Let's see. Matthew has this. This is Matthew. Welcome to Tennis Bet. He says Sinner should have walked off and saved his backers a catastrophic minus 10,000 loss. Yeah. James Fraction. Hey, Gil. Both the Hamburger and the Cyborg went down yesterday. He's talking about Ostapenko and Rybakina at the French. Let's go, Iga. On a side note, apolitically speaking, can you ask Paul Carr next time about his handicap on the impact of Iran's soccer team doing game day commutes from Mexico into and out of the U.S.? Oh, my. We'll ask him. Steve at Racing DFS, how good should I feel about my Hodar futures now? Pretty good. Pretty good. In fact, let's bring Zach back in here. Zach Cohen joining us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll get back to basketball here, but I wanted to bring up two things. One, I want to get your thoughts on the newly revamped market from the men's side. But you've been hearing, you were bothered by this off air. You're like, people are saying Sinner choked. It wasn't a choke at all, right? That does not constitute a choke.
Yeah, I saw a lot of like choke or collapse. It is what it is. It's yes. Like he was going to win the match. He wasn't going to choke away the match. Like it's just this guy can't handle the heat. And there, you hear it all the time. Like Jim Courier said, it's something about, you know, people with red hair that maybe that's possible. I have no idea. But like he just can't handle the heat. We've seen it so many times, but this was extreme heat and there was just no recovering from it.
Gingers. Ginger's taking
trays. Yeah, wow, this show's getting real anti-ginger real quick.
I mentioned that in the first segment also. Yeah. What would you do right now? So you had Sinner as well. Is there a player you will immediately look to now to back?
I think it's Casper Ruud still. Like, Ruud also had his own issue with the heat, but, like, it was a match where it was a little bit later in the day. It got cooler. It allowed for him to kind of settle in and find a way to win in five. I thought Ruud was a really good bet to go to the finals, and I do think that now that Sinner's out, he's the player to beat here. I know that might seem like Zverev, but I think with the way that Ruud was playing in the last couple of weeks and, you know, going to that Rome final and playing pretty well against Sinner in that match, I think it's hard to say that anybody's playing better than him right now. I mean, it's obviously hard to rule out Novak Djokovic. I mean, He's probably looking at this draw now, looking at his chops as well, but I do think that match against Joao Fonseca, it's going to be really tough for him tomorrow, and then he has to go through Ruud as well. So it's a really tough draw for Djokovic still, whereas it isn't for other players. I don't know. Like, I look a little bit further down. Like, Shelton's the player that I think has the mentality to do it, but I don't think he has the game to do it. It's just there's red flags with everyone.
Red flags with everyone. Right. But certainly Sasha, certainly at the top, Sasha Zverev's like, my chance. And Djokovic is like 25. I could do this for sure. Real quick, we should show this is the plays yesterday that I had. Zach also crushed it yesterday. And again, I just want to say for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. If you're not a pro subscriber, you get both Zach and my tennis picks every day. This was my 7-3 yesterday. Where I just 10 plays. I don't think I've ever had 10 plays in a day here. Went 7-3. And then this morning so far, you see all those. The only losses yesterday were Prismic, who was up, 2-0. Lost on Bassivaretti and Snigor. The rest were all winners and big dogs among them. A plus 147 in there, a plus 125, a plus 135, a plus 154. All right, not huge dogs. But today, a plus 173 already. On Svalinska and a winner on Jovic as well. So a 2-0 today. Zach crushing it as well. So again, VSiN.com/picks for all the tennis and every host, every guest, every sport available there for subscribers. Back to the NBA, Zach. We talked a little bit about OKC versus New York hypothetical. You thought under 5.5 games. You said something much different you feel about the Spurs and the Knicks. What's that?
Yeah, I saw the Knicks like in the hypothetical price, like plus 185. And I think that that series is very close to 50-50. Maybe I'm overreacting a little bit to what I saw with the way New York just kind of ran through the Eastern Conference. But I think that what I really like about the Knicks in a potential matchup with the Spurs is just how much better they are on the wing. I think that one of my main talking points about the Spurs heading into the postseason is that, like, while everyone kind of said it was going to be inexperience that would do them in, I always thought it was a lack of quality on the wing. Like, I thought that, you know, relying on Vassell, Champagne, Harrison Barnes, who's not playing right now, that would be really tricky as you started to play some of the league's elite teams. And now you're going up a Knicks team that has, you know, Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby. And we just saw what the Knicks did to a team that did not have good wings. It was a sweep over the Cavaliers. And I think the Spurs are better than the Cavaliers. They're better coached. They're tougher. All of that. And Cleveland doesn't have a player anything like Victor Wembanyama. But I do think that Bridges and Anunoby is a major edge on the wing for New York.
Okay. What about the Western Conference Finals MVP? So our buddy Will Hill, he's got Caruso. I want to say like I shortchanged him. I said like 75 to 1.
I think it's 100.
I think it's 100 plus to 1. I think it's like 120 or 125 to 1 that he has Caruso for Western Conference Final MVP, which he bet right after game one when Caruso hit the 8 threes. And it was like, okay, yeah, okay, now we have a path, right? That's the bet on something like that. If SGA is kind of muted the rest of the series and Caruso puts together maybe one or two more good games, you know, there's the path. Well, we're here now. It's 3-2 OKC. OKC either wins tonight or on Saturday. That immediately makes it live just from a, you know, they won the series standpoint. Do you feel, because right now, what is it, 30-1? What have we seen on Caruso?
Less? Yeah.
25-1. Down to 25-1, I'm being told.
25-1 yesterday.
And then on prediction markets like Kalshi, even less than that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, Zach, that if the, let's say OKC wins tonight, SGA is, you know, foul merchanting his way, you know, into it, and Caruso puts up another solid performance, that we could have Alex Caruso as the MVP of this series?
I texted Kelly and JVT right after I saw Will Hill made that play, and I'm like, I actually like Will's play. The only problem is, like, I feel like people look back on when Iguodala won over Curry, and they feel it was a mistake. And I just kind of wonder if it's the same type of situation where if it's close, they don't want to do it. I feel like it would take, like, a 20-point performance from Caruso in this game six and another shaky, like, inefficient game from SGA.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be, like, a great, great case for Caruso,
yeah,
not just a good one.
I think, okay, so everything you said there, I agree with. I do think, for whatever reason, right, anecdotally, we feel like Iguodala has looked back on sort of, you know, oh, well, Iguodala won, and it probably shouldn't have been Iguodala, you know, that kind of thing. But I made the point yesterday, I was like, that was the NBA Finals. I wonder if voters would be willing to say to themselves, well, this isn't the finals, right? It's just the conference finals. So we could actually get to this guy. The problem is if you look at the box scores, right? If you just look at Shea, I did this with Will yesterday. Will, by the way, keeps saying there's no chance Caruso could win just so he can reverse jinx himself. But if you look at the box scores of these five games, just, you know, without having watched anything, Shea just fills up a box score in a way where it's really not even a comparison, right? So I wonder if this is all just talk and it's just going to come down to, well, look at Shea's box score. It's still way better than that guy's.
And zero in game four for Caruso. Like, if that was eight, it looks way better. Like, it just looks so bad when you're kind of comparing the two.
If it's the Spurs, it's Wemby or nobody, right?
Yes. I think that Wemby has been the only, like, great, great player in the series. And even he has been kind of non-existent in some of these games. Like, not non-existent, like, he still makes his presence felt and puts up big numbers. But I think that Wemby's actually had a pretty poor series since game one.
If you project forward to the NBA Finals and you were willing to bet an MVP before that series even started, and obviously we don't know if it's San Antonio or OKC in there, is there a Knicks bet you would make if you were a Knicks backer? I know you're not, but if you were, could you isolate anybody?
I think that I'd rather the longer odds on Towns than I would rather, like, than having, you know, Jalen Brunson at, like, a slightly better series price. I know a lot of people will look at that as Brunson's going to win, let's just take Brunson to win instead of taking the Knicks. But I'd rather just take the Knicks and then put a sprinkle on Towns at a longer price. I just feel like Towns has been able to put up big play, you know, numbers in these playoffs. I think that he's been really good as a playmaking hub, and I just think that that's going to continue no matter who he faces on OKC. I think that OKC, even if that ends up being the matchup, like, he's still going to have games where he really, you know, lights it up as a scorer and, you know, continues to put up his 5+ assists. I think that OKC is somewhat weak in that center rotation, mostly because of how, you know, eager Hartenstein is to get himself into foul trouble.
He sure seems it. By the way, hypothetical, not hypothetical, you actually bet on these, but we don't know if it's OKC or San Antonio, obviously, for NBA Finals MVP, Shea -135, Jalen Brunson +270, Victor +650, and then Cat at 15-1, Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Zach, good luck with the rest of your tennis plays today and tomorrow. And with your NBA, I'm not going to wish you luck because I'm a Spurs guy, but you know what I mean. Personally, wish you luck. Thank you for the time, Zach. Appreciate it. Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X. We'll come back. MLB most wins June. Let's go.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I am so excited to do June Most Wins. So excited. Thank you, Eric Biggio from William Hill Caesars, for putting them up. Always appreciate that early because we have this weird, you know.
He gave Eric homework this week a couple times.
And then we do our homework once he puts him out.
That's right.
Because May 29th tomorrow, so the 30th and 31st obviously is a weekend. We wouldn't be here, so we got it. We had to get it in, as they say. You know what I mean by they. We get tweets beat of the book real quick. Patrick Kelly, time for A&G to get a couple new sponsorships. Antiperspirant for us and cramp relief for, well, you know, not necessarily in that order. William Wagers got Teichman at Plus Money Live yesterday while driving from Iowa to Florida. Wow. That getting home made the drive a little better. Thanks, Gil. Thank you.
That's a short drive.
Scrabble Star is checking in. Uh-oh, did we make an English mistake?
Probably.
He said, Gil, if Sinner could feel the cramping starting before it became full-on debilitating, would it have made sense for him to gain valuable seconds of rest in set two by being passive on Juan's service games by hitting high lobs, etc., and even on serve? Yeah, I guess if he knew that they were coming at that point, but did he know that they were coming at that point in the second set? You're right, though. I mean, like, everything about this was it feels mismanaged. Maybe him on the court himself, and then his team, for as what Zach just described, he could have gone on, instead of being on Chatrier, on Philippe Chatrier, he could have gone on Suzanne Longlon, which is another court earlier. And as Zach said, that would have made all the difference.
I didn't know these guys got to, like, pick their time windows.
Well, if you're him, you do.
Because they plan the
top players.
Because they plan the TV coverage around it.
Yeah. Josie714, been a minute since I tweeted you guys. I've literally been telling my friends that tennis players are one of, if not the most, athletic in sports, combination of hand-eye coordination, physicality, mental, no coaches. Well, they do have coaches now, but yes, for years and years and years, no coaches. Jeff in Vancouver talking about Kwame. That was really something to watch. Then the French teenager getting to round three in the men's. Whew. JB54. Great pod that you guys had. Fellas, you mentioned more than once his injury cramping concerns. I faded him in all my quarters and champion bets. Thanks. Wish we were that smart. Well, we got the good number, though. That's why we played him. James at the James Lloyd. Yo, if they know that Sinner has cramping / heat issues and do something dumb and schedule a noon match, why don't they stick him with an IV and hydrate him a few hours before? Dude.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe they do, right?
Yeah.
Never know what's going on before these matches.
5232-22236. E Street Pick says Boris Becker would like a word with me. I don't know. What did I say that Boris Becker would like a word with me? I don't know. I don't know.
Iowa to Florida, 21-hour drive. God bless you.
The numbers, guys. Gilly, is there a cutoff for when the odds are too short for your tennis picks? It's no secret. You're mostly playing dogs. You don't ever get cute and parlay the favorites? Oh, I get cute and parlay the favorites on my own. As I've said many times on this show, when Crack will be here later, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, we talk about, you know, how the terrible nature of parlays. But I always say, if you listen closely, I'll go, tennis, I will parlay. On my own, I will parlay tennis plays. All right, let's talk baseball. Shout out to Eric Biggio again, William Hill Caesars. June Wins is up. Remember, at William Hill /Caesars, the tiebreaker is non-existent. It's a dead heat if there's a tie with Most Wins. At Circa, they've yet to put out their June numbers. But at Circa, it's fewest losses is the first tiebreaker in case you have the most wins at the end of the month. Then it's run differential. Best run differential is the second tiebreaker. First of all, an update for the month of May, if we're doing our job here. It has gotten really amazing. First of all, the Rays are gacking the month. I don't know if the Rays know they're gacking the month, but they've gacked the month. They are now a win behind, along with the Dodgers. Sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. They both have 16 wins, but you know who's got 17? The Brewers, Phillies, and Guardians. Right now, it's the Brewers at 17-6 with a plus 40 run differential. The Phillies at 17-8 with a plus 28, and the Guardians at 17-9 with a plus 21. Each of those teams, all five of those that I just mentioned, not only the three tied at 17, but the two at 16, all have three games to play.
Seven in a row for the Phillies, right? Five in a row for the Dodgers.
We got to talk about Sanchez and
the Rays, man. You know what's
and
funny?
Shohei later.
You know what's funny about that is it felt like in the past week, finally, some people were starting to come around on this team. And then.
Baseball, man. It's 162 games. It's so long. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have fanfare for most June wins. Let's go. What's our intro?
Who will be the champion of this month? Gil Alexander dives into the MLB most wins for the month.
Wow. The gunfire is a little jarring. You know what I mean?
Gunfire.
Wasn't that gun? It felt like gunfire from a tank. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know.
By the way, let me just say this again.
Electrical crackle, I thought.
We finished in April, March, April, we had the Reds. That finished a T2, tied for second. And then this month, we had the Seattle Mariners. My deepest apologies. Because, by the way, the Mariners are now cosmetically making it look okay.
Of course, yeah.
Of course they are. Like, they're trying to end up as a top 10 team, basically. But never competitive. All right, first thing we do when we analyze the months, we just look at the total number of games. Right? Because you want to know, is, you know, one team going to have a tremendous advantage in terms of number of games? Is some team going to have a tremendous disadvantage? Remember, with William Hill Caesars, that matters in a dead heat situation, because if you got 28 games, you're at a distinct advantage over a team that has 25. Not so much at Circa, where tiebreakers are determined by fewest losses. Actually, having fewer games could in some weird way help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is, total games month of June. Looky here. The Diamondbacks play 28 games. Nobody else plays that many. Most play 27. You have 9 teams that play 26 games. And the Atlanta Braves, look at them. They only play 25 games. So the Atlanta Braves play 3 fewer games than the Arizona Diamondbacks. You just want to know that going into it based on where you're betting. So at William Hill Caesars, you really can't make a case for the Braves. Just because it's like, it's too few games.
Yeah.
Based on everybody else. I mean, you can make a case for him. I just wouldn't bet him. All right. So I'm not going to give him my, I'm going to give out my pick tomorrow. I'm going to give out my runner up and my number one tomorrow because I haven't had a chance to bet it yet. But here is my 6-5-4-3. First, finishing in sixth place, the 28 game Arizona Diamondbacks, who we just mentioned play the most games in the month of June, barring rainouts. Because remember, rainouts really affected stuff in the month of May. The reason that Tampa Bay has played fewer games, right, than the Guardians, let's say, a couple rainouts. So Arizona's got 28 on schedule. Couldn't play them ultimately, though. By the way, they're 16-1 over at William Hill Caesars. The problem is, Kelly, not only do I not think that highly of the team, Perdomo's a shell of what he was last year, but they play 4 games to start against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Those are run differentials, by the way, in parentheses.
That's crazy.
So the Dodgers have a plus 117 run differential. So what I did was I averaged out all these run differentials. So every game, the average run differential in the month of June that Arizona will play is a plus 5.21 run differential. That is weighted heavily because of those first 4 games against the Dodgers. I just don't want to start in a hole. I'm not playing the Diamondbacks.
It's all, you know, with these books posting these throughout the month, right? This is always one where you could circle the Diamondbacks and come back to it. After you get through these 4 games against the Dodgers.
That's exactly right. If they go 2-2, if they tread water, maybe they're a play. Number 5 in my considerations, but a non-play, the aforementioned Tampa Bay Rays, who are flirting with a May win, but it doesn't look like they're going to get there right now anyway. They're 8-1 in the month of June. Their schedule is super-duper easy, but 3 games at Chavez Ravine right in the middle as well. Right, the plus 117 run differential Dodgers. The average run differential, if you aggregate all those, the average run differential of every game that they play in June, their opponents, that is minus 4.88. Minus 4.88. But for me, it's more with the with their starting pitching that everybody loves. I got no problem with Drew Rasmussen, but I think Shane McClanahan, by the way, ERA 2.52, his expected ERA is 3.55, a full run plus higher. And the real one is Nick Martinez, right? His ERA is 1.51. His expected ERA is 4.26, almost 3 runs higher with a meager 14.9% K rate. So I just don't think it's that sustainable for the Rays. Number 4, the Minnesota Twins. This was a consideration because their odds are 150-1.
Yeah.
The average run differential game by game that they will play is minus 8.93. But you see, they've got 3 against the Dodgers, 2 in the middle, plus 117. Bottom line is, I'm not backing the Twins offense. Royce Lewis, Matt Wallner, currently in the minors due to performance issues. Josh Bell, sub 700 OPS. I'm not touching them. Even though 150-1 is very tempting.
Well, 150-1 in a pretty cake schedule, right, besides those 3 against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I'm glad you at least brought them up.
And number 3 consideration, remember, I'm holding 2-1 for tomorrow, but my number 3 consideration was the Houston Astros Astros at William Hill Caesars are 20-1 for the most wins in June. They do not have to play the Dodgers. The average opponent for them this month, well, the month of June rather, is -15.44. So they have an even cakier schedule than do the Twins. But as great as Yordan Alvarez is, injuries all over the infield. The majority of the rotation is on IL. Most of the replacements have ERAs in the fives or the sixes or even worse. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Number two, number one tomorrow. Are we doing an Are We Sure on this show?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow we're doing an Are We Sure. Coming back. Cracking more next.